Leah, let's bring on our first guest today. We have with us the very lovely Dr. Felicia Stoller. She is the author of...
Did you see her picture on her website?
Very attractive. I did like the picture on the website, absolutely.
It was soft porn.
Well, she's written a book called Living Skinny in Fat Jeans, The Healthy Way to Lose Weight and Feel Great. I don't care. I liked it anyway. Dr. Stoller, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And the other thing I like about you, you're from the great state of New Jersey.
Let's focus on that picture.
I want to focus on the New Jersey part because that's where all the greatest artists, the great minds have come from. And are you born and raised from there?
I was not born, but I've lived here since I was four. I took a 10-year hiatus in Manhattan, and I'm back, and I love it.
That counts.
All the wonderful people that are from the Garden State, I have the pleasure of, you know, going to an event for the New Jersey Hall of Fame.
Years ago,
I've gone every year to that event. So.
Oh, you're kidding me. That involved Bruce Springsteen a couple of years ago. I know
twice.
That. Oh, my God.
Twice.
Unbelievable.
John Bon Jovi, you know.
He's nothing compared to the boss. The boss is the king of New Jersey. We all know that.
John Travolta's going to be there this year.
He's from New Jersey, too. John Travolta?
Yeah.
I know Danny DeVito was from there as well.
Yeah, he was awesome last year.
Lee, what if I made it to the New Jersey Hall of Fame?
You're not in there now?
I'm not there yet. What do you think if that happens?
It's just that over time.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
Now, Dr. Stoller, tell us about your book, The Living Skinny in Fat Jeans, The Healthy Way to Lose Weight and Feel Great. Do we have fat genes? Is that what the problem is? Is that what we're fat?
It's about not making excuses, and really the book is about debunking a lot of food myths and misinformation and some exercise myths and misinformation. So, you know, what our DNA can tell us is how much muscle mass we're going to have, how much bone density we're going to have. As far as fat goes, you know, we are these great bodies. We can just store endless amounts of fat. And I tell a very cute little story at the beginning of the book about a cartoon I had seen many years ago when I first got out of my first graduate degree that showed a guy sitting across from his doctor, and he said, "But doc, you don't understand. Fat genes run in my family." And he said, "No, you don't understand. Nobody in your family runs."
That's good.
that's really, 100 years ago, overweight and obesity wasn't an issue.
Now I know there's been a lot of research in fat metabolism. Is the number of fat cells in our body, is it predetermined? Is it set, is it changing?
We can keep growing. They can keep adding on.
But can the number increase?
The number can increase. The size increases as well.
Okay, so both increase.
Yeah, the number can increase. I mean, that's how people become, several hundreds of, people between 500 and 800 pounds. I mean, obviously the fat cells increase because they're not increasing their muscle mass or their bone density.
You hear that, Lee? 500, 800. You're not even in the ballpark, and you're calling yourself the fat guy? What is that about?
It's an aspirational name. I'm trying to get it. So there's no maximum. I could be as fat as I want to be, right?
No, it's like infinite.
See that?
Right. You're an underachiever as far as I'm concerned. You're
falling behind.
You're falling behind. Now, tell us some of the most popular dietary myths that you experience. Now, you're also in private practice.
I am in private practice, and I do a lot of consulting work.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the most when you sit down and you do a consult with patients, what is the one thing that what's the most common thing that pops up and you're like,
pop up all the time. One is that they don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. That's the biggest one. Two is that they overconsume artificial sweeteners. And then the other one that I'll add is that they eat protein portion sizes that are enough for a whole day's worth or a week's worth, from animal sources. So you find that people are eating 16 ounces of steak or, 8 to 10 ounces of fish, and they don't, they may not need that. So what's happening is they're getting extra fat. And, with that being said, as far as fats, then there was, in the 90s, there was the, don't eat any fat. We know we need to eat fats, and there are good fats and bad fats, and we know the trans fats have been removed from the food supply, but, mono and polyunsaturated fats are really essential to the diet, both in terms of providing us with essential fatty acids, carrying fat-soluble vitamins, and also giving us satiety and feelings of fullness. That's what happens when you have too much artificial sweetener. You're just not full. It's like getting something that tastes sweet but doesn't actually give your body the carbohydrates it needs. So that's where fats can play an important role in the diet. So everybody knows about the Mediterranean diet and having olive oil. And there are other oils out there that provide great benefits. So there's canola oil, safflower, sunflower oil are great, and then there's Malaysian palm fruit oil, not to be confused with the kernel, and that is the really the secret ingredient that's behind all the Smart Balance products. It helps to lower cholesterol and reduce your risk for heart disease. And you can find that in stores. It's orange in color. I love cooking with it because it has a high smoke point, so it's great for grilling vegetables over the summer. When you look at it, it's this orange-red color because it has beta-carotene in it.
Oh, I like this. What type of oil is this called?
It's called Malaysian palm fruit. It's not the kernel. It comes from the fruit or the flesh. And in Malaysia, they have very good sustainable farming practices.
Now, when you say the kernel...
There are places in the world where they make it, and it's not.
When you say the kernel, you're not referring to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No, he has
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
This is another kernel?
Yeah, there's another kernel out there.
Really?
Yeah.
And
he's from Malaysia.
The palm kernel oil is the stuff that was in all the movie theater popcorn that got the big, like, ooh, don't eat this, about a decade or so ago.
But okay. It's Malaysian palm, like P-A-L-M.
Fruit.
Palm fruit.
Yeah, see that, Lee? You got a gem right there. That one you're going to go out and go buy. Can you get that at Whole Foods, Dr. Stoller? Can you?
I'm not sure exactly which stores carry it. They may carry it.
Okay. We'll have to check that out.
And Whole Foods varies from region to region. You know, all the individual buyers at each store select what they want to carry. So it's hard to say that with certainty in terms of where you're located, but certainly worth looking
into. I'm going to go to Malaysia.
Yeah. I'd like to go to Malaysia.
Right from the source.
Right? But, you know, the other thing is, like I was talking about the fruit and vegetable thing, I mean, that is an overarching problem that people have. I mean, so many of the, you know, more popular weight loss programs have involved, you know, high protein, low carbohydrate diets, and really they give you a great quick fix, but they just are not sustainable because that's not the way the human body is meant to consume foods.
Yeah, you hear that a lot, that the high protein, low fat is it's sweeping everyone that you talk to. And also you'll hear a lot of the fat burner myths. What are some of the things that when people ask you about fat burners, and is there stuff that I can eat that'll help increase fat metabolism? Is there anything out there that can do that, or is again?
Come on, you know that's bogus. I mean, actually, if you just eat, you know, beyond three times a day, I always recommend that people eat three meals and three snacks. Because there's something called the thermic effect of feeding. So the actual act of eating food, you know, chewing it, digesting it, that engages your body's entire metabolism to start functioning and burning calories.
Right.
And that's the cool thing about eating foods that are high in fiber. Like I kid around when I used to teach the college students, I would tell them they would expend more energy chewing and swallowing corn and moving it from their mouth to their rear end than you actually take in out
like
of the
celery.
Corn kernel. So that's why plant-based foods can be so good because you have to spend a lot of work chewing it, swallowing it, your body breaking it down, and you know it's a lot of work for a little calorie absorption.
Right. Now tell us a little bit about the probiotics and yogurt. There's been a lot of attention in the media, and you watch on TV a lot of the commercials. You show the tummy that's being soothed by and nurtured by the probiotics.
Yeah.
What research out there is there any definitive research that shows that taking probiotics will in fact help the GI tract and help GI function?
It does. And like I'll give you an example. I know myself. I just recently had to take antibiotics. I haven't taken them in well over 5 years. And the doctor even suggested taking a probiotic and the pharmacist as well, you know, so that I didn't have any problems with my stomach as a result of, taking an antibiotic. And just to give you an example, I was reading the other day about superbugs out in California, and it was highly recommended that people that are involved with long-term care facilities and or hospitals, even if you're visiting somebody, should be eating at least a yogurt a day and or taking probiotics because it does help to ward off certain diseases. I mean, our GI tract is one of the first lines of defense in our immune system.
Right. But in terms of the probiotics, you know, since it's relatively new, it seems like the wild, wild west when you go to purchase a probiotic, in terms of what strain should you be taking, in what combination, is there any way that we know, you know, which one is better, which one is worse? I know that for a long time, In the yogurt, they were putting the active cultures into the yogurt, but in fact, when they freeze them, they actually die. So it doesn't, you're defeating the purpose.
But that's frozen yogurt. You're not talking about regular yogurt.
Right.
I mean, frozen yogurt, I don't really think of as like a health food the way I would think of regular yogurt or Greek yogurt. But, there are so many strains of probiotics and prebiotics out there. But, one brand in particular that I've you know, been using a lot is Core Lab. They have a number of different products, and what they've done research in doing is looking at the safety and efficacy starting in infants and toddlers. So I think there's something to be said for a company that wants to put their money where their mouth is as far as their research and safety. And again, people that sometimes have IBS find relief by using probiotics, because, you know, IBS is a collection of symptoms for which you don't have a real diagnosis.
Lee, do you know what that is, IBS?
No, I don't. I'm not that smart, doctor.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
There you go. There you go. Are just you, for our listeners and for the fat guy, Dr. Stryker.
We're not allowed to say that word?
No, we can. You're allowed to say that.
Irritable?
Yeah, no, irritable. Bowel. You can say that. That's not a problem. Now, Dr. Stryker, how did you get so deeply involved? Because I understand that you were not always a registered dietitian. You were doing something else.
Modeling.
That's correct.
This
is my third career. I worked at ABC News prior to this, and I wanted to go back to school. I thought I was going to get a master's in journalism, and somebody at ABC gave me the suggestion of going to school for something that I was passionate about and seeing if I couldn't work that back into the media. And that's why I decided to go to school for nutrition and exercise science. I was always an athlete and always worked out, and I love food, and I'm a foodie, and I enjoyed eating healthy. And I had been to somebody with my credentials who really made such big changes in my life, and I figured, well, if I could do that, and, you know, when I worked at ABC, I used to get a lot of requests after something was broadcast. The number one thing we got the most requests for were health segments, so I realized the power of the visual media and television as far as relaying health information. So I was like, wow, wouldn't that be cool if I can go become an expert in something? And little did I know at the time in 96, 97, when I first went back to school, that obesity was going to be such a big issue.
Right.
Why do you think that people are so obsessed about getting the information and then not actually doing anything with the information?
Well, I think part of the problem is that there's so much information out there. I mean, when I went to nutrition, she said, and I mean, at the time, there wasn't the internet the way it was. You know, she's like, you read every magazine diet, you know, and you're trying to follow all these things, and you don't know the right information. You know, how the body works and functions. And so that's part of the problem. You know, when people say to me, oh, I know my body, I can't eat this and I can't eat that, you know, half of that's in their brains and it's mental.
Do you really think that people don't know that they should eat less and exercise more?
I think they know. But, you know, if somebody can promise that if you go on a particular diet and you can eat the things that you love, if you can have steak and bacon, and you don't have to eat vegetables, and you don't have to eat carbs, and you're going to feel full, and you can eat things that, you know, taste good to you, or, you know, that's what you've been accustomed to, then you're going to try that. I mean, that's the success of Atkins, right?
Right. Do you think there's, Dr. Stoll, do you think there's an addictive property to food? Do you think, in terms of the certain combinations of foods, high fat, high salt?
I think people that have addictive personalities some people do have food addictions, but some people that have food addictions would otherwise have shopping addiction, drug addiction, alcohol addiction. The difficulty with food is we need to
eat every day to live. Right,
I mean,
right,
you could argue whether or not you need to have alcohol to live,
right.
But that is, I mean, and I've seen this in practice. So, I say this from a very practical place of working with patients that have these problems. A lot of times when people have those addictions, sometimes they have OCD. And OCD then drives further this, you know, food addiction.
But when you're working with a client and
what if you were working, Dr. Stoll, what if you were working with the fat guy? How difficult?
I got one today. I got to be at my office by 1 o'clock.
But what?
I'm not kidding. I got a real fat one. He's on disability.
What do you do with the personality of the fat guy?
Why don't you let me?
Wait, I know. I'm going to let you get there, but I want to ask her about you because
you're talking about me.
I know.
Like
you're right here.
Here.
You're right next to me. But I know more. I think I know a lot about you, Lee. But what do you do about someone who, you know, who just? They know what they need to do. It's not like it's an issue of the information. It's just a matter of the discipline, the daily discipline, and sticking to it.
Well, first of all, try to find out what the barriers are. So, you know, in behavior modification, you have to know what the barriers to change are and find out what the motivation is, and then see if you can't work towards making small changes. You know, sometimes people walk into my office and they want to do every single thing that we talk about. And I'm like, let's just narrow it down to like maybe two or three things to work on.
Okay. What are the
small changes?
For example.
Excuse me?
What are some of those small changes you recommend to start?
So small changes would be looking at physical activity patterns, for example, and looking at what you do for exercise or what you do for physical activity and how you could increase that. So, for example, a recommendation that I make a lot to people who, you know, have a tough time moving is saying, listen, can you get up and walk around for 5 minutes every hour during the day? Right?
Okay, no.
You could accumulate exercise, right? Like the person that works at an 8-hour job – that gets up for 5 minutes and goes for a walk, they can accumulate 40 minutes of physical activity that I could not otherwise ask them to take in one bout.
Right. It's
because
pretty...
everybody doesn't have time. We're mentally busy, but we don't want to do the physical busy.
Right. And it's creating those little successes, those little things, those little incremental changes, and trying to find the solutions to
right.
whatever job
I mean, like
that you
another
have.
Another thing, like real simple, maybe somebody's drinking whole milk, and it's like, okay, let's go down to 1% and then ultimately switching down to skim.
Right.
You know, but it's doing it gradually. It's not, it's, you know, people.
No cold turkey here, Dr. Stoller, right? No cold turkey.
I don't do that. You know what? Because that cold turkey is not effective. So
right, but doesn't also, when you're doing it a little at a time, that's good job security for you.
Well, it has nothing to do with
you know
job
what?
Security.
You know what? A lot of people can't afford to come do this because it's not covered by insurance. So that's part of the problem, too, is that they don't have the means to pay for it. So they're going to go for whatever is cheap and easy.
Right.
So it's not that I'm looking for financial gain here. It's
yeah, Lee, she didn't do this. This is her passion.
She's just trying to help people.
That's right.
She would do
well,
it.
That's
absolutely.
Why I wrote the book, so that if somebody can't afford to come to
right.
see
they
me.
They can see right by the book. Absolutely.
They can buy the book. It's the
well,
same
do you
thing.
Really think that there's a lack of books out there about losing weight?
No, I don't think there's a lack of books out there. But listen, I will tell you a little secret.
Yeah.
When I went to meet with publishers, they all wanted me to come up with some other garbage to put in my book. And they,
right.
you know, they want a hook.
I think
you...
the books are causing obesity because the more books
you know
there are,
I think
the fatter
the media is
people
part
are.
Of the obesity problem.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We need...
I do.
Now, Dr. Stoller, also, before we go, you are also the host of TLC's show, Honey, We're Killing the Kids.
Correct.
Tell us about that. I have not seen the show.
Yeah, well, it's not on right now, but you can go to the TLC website. They still have a lot of stuff up there. Basically, we work with families, and they had to have children, and we work with them and show them what their kids look like today and what they could look like by the age of 40. And, you know, they usually ended up showing them these morphs that looked a little bit like the parents. And we would go into their homes, like literally, I traveled all over the United States. We'd go into their homes and change their eating habits and behaviors. We would get them being more physically active together as a family.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, limiting TV, taking TV out of the bedroom.
Cool.
You know, really trying to limit technology time with families, getting them up and moving and doing the things that they needed to do to eat better. And in many cases, suggesting foods that they just didn't know how to eat, what to eat. They didn't know how to cook. We'd bring in chefs to teach them how to cook. I mean, lack of skill and knowledge in cooking is part of the problem too that we find.
Now, did you just shoot that, or has that been going on, or just
there's no way this caught on the show? I'll tell you right now.
What's that?
Trying
no
to get
way.
Something else on air. Been talking to some production companies about some other stuff, so hopefully there'll be some other opportunities.
Yeah,
but right now, that's not on the air.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds like a great idea. Was it a lot of fun shooting it? Did you have
it
fun?
It was. I really enjoyed it, and I've actually stayed in touch with three of the families.
Are they still compliant?
Not really, but it's
yeah.
tough. You know, they needed more than 4 weeks of intervention, and, you know, it's always nice having
it's
a camera
compliance.
Crew following you around,
compliance.
And then when that goes away, you know.
Yeah, it's hard.
We
yeah.
all need camera crews following us around.
We all need camera crews, and the other thing is it's tough. You know, what do you think about the shows like The Biggest Loser, where like, for instance, I think one of the best reality weight loss shows there is Survivor. That
yeah.
to me is the ultimate weight loss show. That's where
right.
you don't have – You can't go and get food. You don't have any. You have no source of getting the food. So,
right.
Are you talking about Survivor?
No, we're talking about these reality shows
and
what Dr. Stoller thinks about.
Well, I think that if you go to the notion that reality TV is supposed to be entertaining first, they do provide entertainment. I think that shows like The Biggest Loser do provide a lot of inspiration for people. The difficulty is that reality TV isn't so real. You can't take what they do on that show and do that at home unless you want to quit your job and
right.
hire a trainer and a nutritionist and a chef. And, you know, if you want to make weight loss your, you know, 8 to 10 hour a day job, you could have the same results that they do.
Right.
But no one wants to pay
they
that
have
price.
Physicians. They have a dietitian. I mean, you don't get to see a lot of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
Right.
But I encourage people to take a staycation and stay at home instead of spending the money to go away and pay for airfare and hotel. Use that same money, get a trainer for a week,
it's a great
get a
idea.
Dietitian, learn what you need to eat, maybe hire a chef to teach you how to cook, and hopefully they teach you know they cook in a healthful manner, and do the same thing for yourself.
That sounds like a great idea. Staycation. I love that. That sounds great. Well, the book is Living Skinny in Fat Jeans, The Healthy Way to Lose Weight and Feel Great.
But there's now, no fat jeans. That's the twist.
Yes, there's no fat jeans. Now, Dr. Stoller, can we get the book at your website? Is that the best place,
FeliciaStoller.com? You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it at Amazon.com.
Get it anywhere.
Borders, whatever.
Fantastic. Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show today. And we look forward I know there's going to be another book. There's got to be another book. There's going to be a DVD with this. There's something coming out.
I'm working
on
the next book proposal. It takes a long time.
Well, call us when it comes out. We'd love to have you back on the show.
All right, great. Thank you so much. Have a great day and good luck with everything.
Thanks. Good talking to you.
Take care. Bye.
That was Dr. Felicia Stoller. Check her out at FeliciaStoller.com. The book is Living Skinny in Fat Jeans, The Healthy Way to Lose Weight and Feel Great. There's no such thing as fat jeans, Lee. You're full of baloney. You don't have any fat jeans. Stop telling me that. You do.
I have skinny jeans.
When you're online, make sure you check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our Twitter page.
Yes.
I'm at Dr. Fitness.
Dr. Fitness 6.
No. Dr. Dr. Fitness 6.
Listen.
And Fat Guy.
Yes.